Hey, folks, if nothing else, Rodney and I have our opinions about the state of the world. And we talk about that today, and also how blessed we are with our lives and the career choices we made. Well, we hope you enjoyed this edition of Old Fools Talking Old School.
Yeah, that's the part. The one with the big money had the big influence, too. And most of that influence is in Congress. So
that's why they all millionaires.
That's right. That is right.
Them and Putin, because Putin, you know, they always said they were going to destroy us from within. You know, the way a lot of these folks are acting up there in the House, I think they on Putin's payroll.
You know, yeah, it makes you wonder.
Yeah,
it makes you wonder who they're looking out for, because it don't seem like they weren't looking out for our country.
You ain't lying. I saw. I laugh, but then I like, man, don't laugh at that, because them poor people over there, you know, they can't help. They got a fool for a leader, and no more than we can help. But they were talking about Kim Jong-un. I didn't know that little was only 40 years old, and he over there crying about he ain't going to be able to feed his population. But yeah, but you can shoot off a rocket every 3 weeks. You know, you need to rearrange your priorities, you know, telling the women to have more kids. Now, why are you going to tell women to have more kids and you can't feed the ones you got?
Well, you know, North Korea has been like that for years. I mean, that's why they was doing stuff like sitting, you know, shooting off rockets and threatening to invade South Korea and that kind of stuff, because they couldn't feed their people. So they would go out and make all them threats, and countries would give them rice and things like that to sort of shut him up. You know, they'd give even his dad, when his dad was in power, they was doing the same thing.
Yep.
But you know, people have sort of gotten tired of all the rhetoric. And as I tell people all the time, there ain't nothing in North Korea that anybody wants.
You know, that right.
If they had a big, huge oil reserve, or if they had, you know, gold mines or something like that, you could say, yeah, man, we need to play ball with them. Ain't nothing in North Korea anybody wants.
You're right.
So that's how he's been trying to get stuff for his people, is by threatening to do stuff to the South and stuff like that. So these other countries will come out and give them food. You know, they've been like that for a while. He just, you know, he as they say, the fruit don't fall far from the tree or whatever. He just like his crazy daddy.
Yeah, yeah. And what little they do have, he's taking it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So. Sometimes I don't understand, you know, sometimes you got to squash a bug, you know what I mean? You know, you're a nuisance, you know, hell, those people in North Korea could probably be pretty productive under the right guidance.
Yeah.
You know, this is a Donald Trump wannabe dictator in a suit that's too little, you know? Yeah, he ain't about a lot of that. Trying to be a player, like somebody listens to him. I don't care how you shoot them rockets up in the air. Oh, it got a little closer.
And that's about all they're doing.
All they do. Yeah. Oh, it's a little closer. Yeah, man, you ain't doing nothing.
No, you know? No. That's why people don't take them serious. Plus, they got so many people over there on the border and down south, they'd have a hard time even getting across. So,
yeah,
you know, that's why they talk about, you know, going and you know, bombing Japan and stuff. I said, can you imagine you shooting a rocket to Japan? You know, the world power. You know, yeah, but, you know, he just.
That would get the backing of us.
Yeah. So, you know, he just tries to do that kind of stuff to get, as I said, to get food for his people, because they've been in bad shape for years. You know, the Russians was helping them, Chinese has been helping them, and they have their own issues now with their economies. They can't be helping. They can't be helping out. They got their own issues. So that's why they're in the bad shape now, because they too big, you know, papas. They ain't got the resources to be sending them stuff.
That's right. And these right-wing Republicans over there, singing the tunes of Putin. He can't, Yeah, the last two small countries he tried to conquer whooped his ass. The Afghans did it, and now the Ukrainians are doing it. I'm only hoping what this country is about and what they do is to hell with them Republicans. I hope they funding the Ukrainians and kicking his ass, because his folks are right now. They got that close. They always talk about China's close society. Hell, that's what Putin got over there. He'd be lying. Them folks over there think they winning the war and they getting their ass handed to them.
Yeah, yeah. But when you control the, you know, when you control the media like that and stuff, you know, you can tell them whatever you want to tell them. You know, that's all they know. And I'm sure, you know, that they think that's exactly what's going on. But I tell you, the only thing that I don't quite understand that one general for that mercenary group that was marching toward Russian capital, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Why the hell would you get on an airplane? Stupid. I would never get on an airplane. Knowing, why would you get on an airplane? I would like, no. I'm going to walk wherever I'm going. I ain't getting on an airplane. He was an easy target.
After he done seen what Putin has done?
Yeah.
All the time with these folks flying out of high-rise hotel rooms or getting poisoned. You're going to
get on an airplane.
Yeah. He should have kept marching on to Moscow is what he should have done.
That's what he should have done. When he stopped is when he sealed his own fate.
Yeah, he did. And it was just a matter of time. Everybody wondered how it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew he was – I thought, you know, they would might be nice and let him go ahead to go to one of them other countries and just not hear from him again. But then when that happened, I'm like, you know, how dumb can you be to get on an airplane? I would have said, no, I'm on, even though they probably would have took him out anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm like, no, give me my car. I'll drive myself. Don't worry about it. I'll make my way. Just give me a car. I'll drive myself.
I'm here to tell you, man. It is amazing, though. I mean, to really, how can you live? Well, he did live with himself, I guess. But knowing you signed your own death certificate, it's just a matter of when and where it was going to come from.
Yeah, I think probably there was some promise of maybe some help. If things had gone the right way, and when things didn't go the right way, probably, and I'm sure we had some role in that too.
You
it
know
was it. Like, uh-oh, no, it didn't go the right way. You're on your own now, buddy.
Yes, sir. You didn't play ball when we asked
that's right.
you to play ball.
That's right.
So
you're on your own now.
That's what it is. and boy, you play yourself into those positions trying to get on the right team.
Yeah, you're trying to play one against the other, and sometimes that doesn't work.
That's right. That's right. That's a doggy. That's a serious doggy dog. Mm-hmm. You know,
these countries will drop you like a hot potato.
I, you know, God bless these brothers and sisters, and all of them that get up in there with the right thing in their heart. But all I need for one time tell me that. If you get caught, we ain't going to acknowledge your existence. they always showing up. Oh, we're not here. We're not supposed to be here. All right. Well, Rodney ain't going to be there. That's for damn sure. But hey, I ain't got that kind of patriotism.
Once again, I look at being blessed and not making some decision early on and getting out, because looking back on it, that kind of thing right now, you don't have to worry about that kind of stuff so much, because, you know, worst case scenario, you know, me and you, we got three, we got VA, we got Medicare and TRICARE for life, you know, so a lot of people don't have nowhere near that. So
exactly.
Don't have
I know
to sort of worry
have
about
to,
that.
Have to. Tell myself when I'm reading these articles, you know, I said, this is not for me. You know, this is an article for people out here that don't have, like you said, the safeguards that we got.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it sometimes. I was just looking at a thing the other day about how much money per month that you would need to make to live comfortably. And I'm like, well, I'm all right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm like certain things don't apply to me. I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about that. And even in the article, they was talking about you to have, this woman was talking about, she was upset at her husband because he wants them to have 5 to 6 months worth of money in their emergency fund in case something happened. And she thought 3 to 4 months would be enough. And the thing was, she was the one working and he wasn't. So I'm like, well, hell, he who makes the money makes the choices. And, but, you know, when I see stuff like that, you know, then you look at your own situations, you're like, yeah, I did all right.
You know? Yeah, I say the same thing. They have this little thing on Saturday morning, Channel 4, this financial company, they're on there with asking about, you know, retirement plans and all that kind of thing. And, you know, the question seemed like for the last few years is, can you retire on $1 million? And he was saying how, well, you know, everybody's living longer and things of that nature. So at one point when people were saying, yeah, that should be plenty, now you could be a situation where maybe that's not enough, you know, depending on you not wanting to cut back on your lifestyle and things of that nature. And I was saying to myself, I said, well, you know, that's based on people who are going to be taking money out of their retirement to live on, you know.
There you go.
And I said, you know,
paying taxes.
Yeah. And paying that tax that comes along with it. I said, where we, you know, been, you know, very blessed in the fact that, you know, as of right now, knock on wood, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Right.
But I said, right now, we're living on just our retirement checks.
Right.
We ain't tapped into our, you know, IRAs and that kind of stuff. None of that stuff at all, you know. Yep. And I hope, you know, I hope and pray it stays that way. I said, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, their source of income is going to be their 401ks or whatever they had, you know, while they were working and stuff. I said, so.
And that's what all these articles are predicated on. That you start drawing out immediately.
Right. If you're taking money out of those accounts sort of from day one, you know, and they might kick in some Social Security there, you know, as part of that formula. But basically, they're looking at you taking money out of that retirement account to be able to live on. And how many years can you do that before you exhaust all of it? So I said, yeah, I said, that's pretty good. I mean, I've taken some out of our account just because I moved some of it into cash, you know, the way the markets and things are, I've done that a little bit. But other than that, and we just don't touch it. It's just there for
wait on that quarterly statement.
Yeah, you know, it's as my uncle used to say, it's there for other people to enjoy at some point, you know, when we're gone.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah, because right now we're not using it. You know,
that's it.
So, I just, like I say, but I'm not complaining. I'm glad to be in a position where we don't have to do that. But you know, just the fact that they talk about it that way, that's almost the norm. I mean, we're sort of in the abnormal group, if you will. You know,
you're right,
because that's pretty much the norm for the majority of Americans.
Yeah,
on how they approach retirement, you know, Social Security and you know, it's a lot of people in our country who their only source of income at retirement is Social Security. They work with places that didn't have retirement plans.
That's right. So they didn't plan accordingly.
No, and that's the only thing they come in. I mean, I look at, you know, like my mom, that's her only income. She never worked anywhere that had a retirement plan. So she never, you know, paid into a retirement plan. So, you know, that's her only source.
She's, she's from the generation like all of our parents are. They really thought Social Security was going to be enough
to take care of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they really, I have my Social Security. I don't know how many times I heard people when I was growing up, I have my Social Security. I'm like, of course, I didn't know what the hell that meant back then.
Right.
But I learned early Social Security ain't going to be nearly enough.
No.
You know?
No.
And,
no. And just like I tell people, I knew when I retired from the military, I could not retire on my military income.
Hell no.
You know, I mean, that was never even an option. That the option of retiring, you know, and say, okay, I'm retired, was never even crossed my mind. You know, two girls going to college and, you know, I said we could have lived on my military retirement, but we would probably be living so close or below the poverty level that I don't know how much of quality of life we would have had. But yeah, exactly. We could have lived on it. We you know, probably eating beanie weenies every day.
Yes, sir.
It came down to it.
And I can't wait till I turn 65.
Mm-hmm.
So get that other extra little money.
Get a little bit more money coming in, you know. But I said that never was an option. I knew I was going to get a job. I had to get a job.
You damn right.
So,
I had this old ignorant ass girl ask me when I was working at the courts there. Could you survive? You could survive on your retirement, couldn't you? Before I let her really know what I thought about it, ain't none of your damn business. Number one. But I could have. I said, why should I? I don't have to. And I got another job. Well, if you can survive off of that, I don't understand why you get a job. I said, I know you don't understand. I said, because it ain't none of your damn business is what it is. Then she's going to try to, well, you know, I had an uncle who retired in D.C. He was in the Navy, and he went to work for the Pentagon. I said, well, didn't you ask him why he got another job? I said, it ain't my fault that y'all didn't have guts enough to serve any time to put yourself in a position to benefit from it. Like she was a trip, man. You know, and I'm like, my old thing is, of course, you learn as you go along. I didn't know nothing about this. The longer I stayed in the military, the more I started learning.
Yeah.
I didn't think about retirement until I started getting to that point where retirement was viable.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. I mean, look here, make some decisions here, you know, and do it from there. You find yourself, you know, that whole reason why we used to holler about getting out was because we didn't know. And then when we stayed and learned and shocked when them doors started opening. Oh, look, you know, I'm young enough to get another job. You know, okay. Well, man, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I know his hand been on my life.
That's for sure. I'm same way. I mean, because there was a time when I was almost dead set on getting out, you know.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
And with no certainty of nothing, you know, I'm like, what the hell were you thinking? You know, so I'm same way, you know. The Lord
goes to show you, though. It goes to show you, though, how you can look at other people and say, hey, they doing it, you know. But what are they doing?
Yeah. How are they doing it? You know.
Yeah, you know.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
You have a little higher expectation than that, can't you? You know. So I'm like, man, I'm so glad I stayed, and the things that it's afforded me. You know, like we were talking the last time, man. Hell, if I see something I want, I go get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But you know, I sort of take what you say, you know, in two ways, though. I'm glad I stayed, but I also am glad that I made some, I hope, what I consider to be some smart decisions.
Sure.
With staying, because I know there are people who stayed and still have issues because they didn't make smart decisions when they stayed or after they got out, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
So I think it sort of takes both, you know, and as I say all the time, I've been blessed. I've been fortunate. I've been lucky, whatever term you want to use. Also, you know, it ain't all because I was the smartest person in the world by no means. It's, you know, I've had, you know, help and fortune along the way too.
Oh yeah.
But,
and examples.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, I think a little piece of that, I did make some smart decisions, you know, whatever you want to call them, that helped along the way too.
Yes, sir. But see, Mickey, one of the things that I think about too is I don't care. You know, the situation is that if you ain't got sense enough to learn from the position that you're in, if you're still of the mindset of nothingness, then you're gonna do it. It's just like people that really stuck in their stupidity. They may make a lot of money, but they still broke. You know, they still ain't learned nothing. They ain't learned how. I look at all the old dudes that used to be in there. I used to listen to them and learn. I'm like, well, I want to try to do something like that. You know, how you do that? You know, but some people come in, like when they go to college, they go with that party concept. They wake up, then they're gone, and then now they're reacting. They're not proactive. They're reacting to the situation that they're in because they ain't prepared for nothing. You know, I had an old dude that I wanted to whoop his ass. So I'll never forget him. And I got with him. We were riding on a truck route there on Lackland Air Force Base one day. He said, hey, man, you mind if I stop by my house? I said, no. Hell, he was a staff sergeant. I was an airman first. But he knew I didn't like him. My ass probably would have been somewhere in the ghetto somewhere. Anyway, we rode by his house over there in Valley High. He said, yeah, man, I just need to check something at my house, man. I said, oh, you got a house? He said, yeah. He said, I bought this house. It'll be paid for in, he said, like a year or two or something like that. He said, I bought this so when I retire, I'd have my house paid for. And he said, I've been all overseas, and that's why I always come back to Lackland because I got a house here. Hell, I was an airman first. I wasn't even married yet. And I started thinking, that's the kind of stuff I need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's all in who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with a bunch of people that ain't trying to do nothing, that's probably what you're going to do.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Like I say, I was the same way around people that had made smart decisions. And it helps. You know, it helps to be able to do that. And it helps to have some initiative and some drive of your own too, to go out and learn, you know, and educate yourself and try to be smart about things. And I tried to do that too. I remember back when I bounced them checks all over Lackland Air Force Base, when that blue haired woman out at Geico cashed that post-dated check. And I told myself, you know, I'll never do that again. So it's not a big deal. I just, every paycheck I got, I'd put in my checkbook $25 less than my check was. And, you know, back then, we wasn't making a whole lot of money.
Yes, sir.
So when I came up and my checkbook said I was, you know, out of money, I was out of money. But really, I still had $25, you know. And that $25, every pay period started to add up, you know, after a while. Like I said, not a big deal. It wasn't rocket science. It's just I told myself. I said, if I can help it, that will never happen again. And knock on wood, you know, throughout my life, it never happened again. But like I say, it don't take big things all the time. Sometimes it just takes little things to get you sort of set on the right path, you know.
And consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I kept up with it. And I kept doing that. And when I felt like I wanted to, you know, get a little bit more money, that's when I went and got that little part-time job at that shop at Kelly, you know. Mm-hmm. I went and did that. I'm not in school. And I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to go make me some money. So I went and got that little part-time job. So I mean, it ain't big things that you got to do sometimes. It's just little things you got to do to pay off in the end. And I think we were very fortunate that we did those kind of things so that when you get to this point, you know, you ain't got to worry about where your next meal's coming from and, you know, are you going to eat or buy your medicine, you know, so
yeah,
it's very fortunate.
But you have some people that their need to have that adoration of being successful or doing that thing. It reminds me of your boy, in the dorm. Remember he bought that Trans Am? He living in the dorm, couldn't afford to put gas in it. Mm-hmm. he ride around the parking lot and park it just to run it a little bit.
Yeah. And it ended up on the sale lot at Security Service Federal Credit Union.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, people like that trying to impress folks.
Yeah.
Instead of getting him a nice little car that he can afford and ride around. He had that Trans Am parked in the back, and he rode the shuttle bus to work every day.
Yeah, it was parked in the back more than it was out riding anywhere. And we all know what we all make. And, you know, we all like,
exactly.
How the hell you can afford that? We all know what kind of money we're making. Of course, you know, there's some people, you know, family-wise or whatever, you know, say, you know, just, you know, keep your ass away from home. I'll pay for your car. You know, just don't come back home. You know, but Russell, we all knew what we all made.
Yeah, and it was like Russell. You say, that's what it was.
Yeah. And it wasn't no time that car was up there sitting on the for sale lot of the repossessed lot at the credit union.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, man, I'm like, come on now. If I didn't learn nothing at home, I learned you don't buy that you can't afford.
I'm the same way. I was that same way. So, but you know, I say you just look back and you look at what could have happened, and you're so thankful that it didn't happen. You know? Well, Rodney and I are very blessed that our military career led to a very good life. I think it's a very good option for folks who may not know exactly which direction they want to go. So we are advocates for a military career, even though you don't hear a lot about that today. Well, we hope you like this edition. Join us next time for Old Fools Talking Old School. Until then, this is Mickey G. Peace.